But when I was younger, I joined like Bhadmanatyam classes, and I remember so well how much I hated it.
You know, my
it.
Mom actually tried to make me join Bhadmanatyam classes too once.
Oh God, how did that go?
What up, everyone? Welcome to our first ever episode of NRI.
Not really Indian.
I'm your host, Krishna Nara from Houston, Texas.
And I'm your other host, Krishna Purva from Singapore.
So one interesting fact is we are filming this on Diwali.
Yeah, I don't know we are.
We are, yes.
Happy
I don't know what's
Deepavali.
So interesting about Happy Deepavali too.
Did I say brown enough
for you now?
You got to get your Indian accent back when you're talking about Indian things, period.
It varies. Sometimes I do. I try, but then sometimes it just doesn't happen.
And then you sound like, is it Diwali today? Is that how you guys sound?
I blame speech therapy for that.
Oh my God. I feel like we're going to talk about this later on.
Oh yeah, we probably are.
So let's get started.
That's another reason we are hosting this podcast. Just like speech therapy, this is another form of therapy for both of us as we are traumatized by feeling not Indian enough. What would you say about that?
Yes. I think this is what a lot of Indian immigrants feel about like their identity in itself. I feel like we do go through like different identity crises where we're trying to figure out who exactly are we. I am guilty of like wanting to hang out with my Indian friends just to feel like I belong somewhere. But as I'm starting to grow older, I'm realizing that I have my own like identity outside of being an Indian. And that's just part of the process that I have to go through. But fundamentally, yeah, I think we all go through stages where we're like, am I cultured enough? Am I not cultured enough? And you also understand that there's going to be a period of time where you don't know your language enough and your kids are not going to know the language enough. And it could cause an entire thing where there'll be a point of time where your kids have zero understanding of culture. So these are all just like a whole complex topic that I'm sure we all think about at some point in our lives. But it's all about how we navigate through it. And we're just using this platform as a way to sort of navigate this process with everyone and be part of the community.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely. One thing about me, though, is I always felt kind of the opposite. So like, I know how you said you feel like you hang out around more Indian people so you can feel a little bit more Indian. Growing up, I kind of did the opposite for the most part. But well, no, it's not that I hung out with more non-Indian people to feel Indian. It was more so because For some reason, I mostly grew up in an area that was predominantly not as Indian. And most of my Indian friends and family came from just extensions of people my parents knew, for the most part. It wasn't until maybe college or after college where I had Indian friends of my own that I came across on my own. So in a lot of ways, the majority of Indian people in my life were people that my parents introduced me to, kind of like arranged marriage, but like arranged friendships or arranged bondings of some sort.
Exactly. Same here. Yeah. Other than, you know, these things, I guess for me, it's like what makes me not really Indian is, and I still remember this because it's such a huge part of like a lot of immigrant girls. A lot of parents put them through Bharatanatyam, right? My parents tried. Bharatanatyam or like Kuchipudi. For Telugu, Telugu girls, I think they're more associated with Kuchipudi. But when I was younger, I joined like Bharatanatyam classes and I remember so well how much I hated it.
You know, my mom actually tried to make me join Bharatanatyam classes too once.
Oh God, how did that go?
It was actually through a family friend. So when I was little, I used to, whenever they were watching movies, like, you know, whenever the songs would come up, I would actually try to like, you know, dance like to whoever, do whatever dance movements that the guys were doing.
And then how old were you?
I mean, this was like early elementary school. I was like 5 or 6, maybe 7 or 8, somewhere along that range. My parents would watch that and they were like, oh, you know, if you learn Bharatanatyam, all this other stuff will just be so easy for you. I don't know if they're trying to tell me I was doing really bad, but anyway, they decided to put me
probably
hey, I'm a really good dancer, okay? I do not dance like I did when I was 5 years old. But anyway, they put me in a class with another auntie that they knew. And we had a few private classes, like 4 or 5. But they were very informal. The, none of it felt very, so you know how Bharatanatyam has this very, or any Bharatanatyam gurus, shishya, parampara, there's a very hard, you know, you have to look up to your teacher, you have to idolize him. This one was super informal.
Yeah.
But I only remember one thing. All it was is you put your hands like this, like, you know, you kind of have, you're making two eyes. And then you have like this horse stance thing. And then I just remember, that's...
Yeah. So the reason why I wasn't a huge fan of Bharatanatyam is not because the art in itself isn't beautiful. I think it's absolutely beautiful. I've seen some of my close friends dance for their Arangetram, and honestly, it's stunning. It's just that there is just way too much control that comes with Bharatanatyam. And you need to have control over your body. It's not something that makes you feel loose and allows you to sort of like release your stress in a way that is like fun, and you can do whatever you want. So that's the reason why I really didn't like it. And I also didn't like how the instructors were allowed to like smack your butt if you weren't doing your like your Aramandi or Murmandi properly. I just didn't like that. I found that very uncomfortable. And also I was a fat kid.
I feel like you should meet to him right now.
I was a fat kid, right? So I couldn't really do the best job at it. So I like, you know, you got to stick your butt out because it gets tiring after a while. They literally make you stay in like Aramandi pose for like really long periods. So I hated it when like she would smack my butt just to tell me to push it back in. And it was just really awkward. And I got a shitty grade. I got mad and I'm just like, I'm done with this control. I'm already getting controlled.
Wait, so they graded you for this?
Yeah, I used to get graded. I literally went to a school like that grades you and stuff, and you go through like examinations and shit.
Like, do they have written tests or something, or was it just?
There was. I think the higher up you go, you have a written test, and it's like a theory and practical. Yeah. Yeah, it was hardcore.
At this point, you practically were in a Bharatanatyam university.
Dude, it's probably a whole thing, by the way. You know what it means to do Arangetram? It means that you've completed the degree and you can officially become like an instructor. That's what it means.
Right.
Yeah. So some of my friends have done that and oh my God, they're amazing. So I've come to realize that I have a much better like special talent when it comes to the classical arts. Like I realized that I can literally be an amazing audience where I can sit down and I can look at you while you dance and I can clap really well. So that is what I realized is my special talent in this entire process.
You should really put that down on your resume. I will clap for you in all your board meetings.
Yeah, I'll be your personal hype woman to all my Arangetram doing friends. I think that's what I'm really good at. There was one time a Desi uncle actually asked me, like a Telugu uncle, bro. Like he's like, so he asked us like, what do you guys do? And me and my other friend were like, we clap really well, uncle. We're like amazing. See how clap? Perfect. It's amazing. And the uncle just looked at us like we're crazy. And he went up to my parents and he was like, chala, allur chestarandi. And like he started like talking about us with my parents. And my parents were just there like, that's just a daily thing for us. It's okay. Let them be.
That's allery for him. We clap really well.
We were being really sarcastic and we were just laughing. So I think he definitely saw us as like, what is wrong with these kids? You know, why aren't they sanskari enough?
Honestly, yeah. All of it is very, it is a really grueling process and it's really intense and it's really something I do have a lot of respect for. I just, at the time when I was learning it, I was literally the only boy who I knew who was kind of sort of learning it. And I was like, no, mom, I don't want to do this. My inner toxic masculinity just really kicked in. And I was just ready to get the fuck out of there. But I feel like if I were to do it all again, I probably would have taken it a little bit more seriously. Like I would have probably tried to.
Really?
I honestly do think if I were to do it all over again, you know, I probably would have taken it a little bit more seriously, or I at least would have tried it a little bit more honestly to, you know, I would have been more open to it, I would say, than I am now. Because I mean, if you really think about it, most good dancers in India, and I'm talking like modern dancers or actors or whatnot, they have that training behind them, and you can see how it kicked, and you can see it in their moves and then their fluidity.
But like, what about you? What about your speech therapy?
So you want to talk about the speech therapy thing. So when I was growing up, my parents are obviously immigrants. we are in America. So the way they would speak English, the way other people would speak English are completely different. For example, like if you say H, we would say the letter H, hitch. Right? Exactly. There hitch. You go. That's what my parents used to be. They'd be like hetch. And for a while, when they were teaching me alphabets and stuff, I just mimicked whatever they were saying. So I walk into school one day and the teachers are like, oh my God, this kid has a really big Indian accent. Yeah, we really got to do something about that.
Okay.
No, here's one word, two letters that used to really fuck with me, the W and the V. Because the sound that both of them make, one makes a W, like W, when, why, where. Then there the V, it makes a V sound, like Valentine, like very. Okay. Honestly, Venezuela? I'm still a little subconscious. For a while, no, I had teachers who used to pick on me for this too. It would be like teachers and students together would be sitting around. And then when we finished class early, they would be like, you know what? Let's have Krishna say this word right now. And then it would be some random V word. And then I would just say with like a W. And then they'd be like, no, Krishna, it's the. And then all the kids would just start laughing.
Valentine's Day. See.
This is partially why I still hate Valentine's Day. I mean, the other part is because I'm like painfully single and I've been painfully single. But this is another reason as to why I still hate Valentine's Day.
Good job. Good job letting the whole world know about that.
And then this is where things get interesting. So after speech therapy and after enough of, you know, getting reinforced, oh, your Indian accent is way too thick, and doing everything you can not to have it. Now, here's another thing. I actually was speaking Telugu when I was little, ever since I was little. My parents did their best to make sure I knew both languages. Whenever I would go to India, it would always be, oh, your Telugu sounds really bad because it's whitewashed. My brother, on the other hand, he's actually he's a natural Telugu speaker. So after he was born, God, I got it so bad afterwards. It would just be, every time we'd go to a relative's house, it would be, oh, he's speaking so well. Why do you speak like shit, bruh? I mean, they wouldn't say, why do you speak like shit? But like, you know, you can kind of tell in their subtext. That's what's probably
going on in their head. I mean, the comparison exists between siblings. That's a huge part of our culture. If one's doing better than the other, they make it a point to vocally let you know that your sibling is doing better than you, don't they?
Oh yeah.
But I think that it's really interesting to see like different aspects about us that makes us not really Indian. And that's the reason why we started this entire thing. It's different perspectives, and there's not one said answer that makes you truly like Indian. So let me go through a couple of comments. We did post a small post on Instagram. So Krish, why don't you go through the comments?
All right. So the question we had was, what makes you not very Indian? And by the way, whoever is watching, whenever we post a question on Instagram, make sure you comment, because your comment could be featured and we will definitely give your Instagram handle a shout out. So our question was, what makes you not very Indian? And we got a couple of replies, so we are going to go over them right now. At Alekia01 said, my Indianness is questioned when people I know see me with a guy. Why can't I have a normal relationship with men, one where I can openly go out with them without having to think, what would that uncle or auntie think?
Yeah, that's a typical.
I feel like that's something you would probably have a better
job. Yeah. Like, I think that, you know, that's the thing. Indianness also seen through like a woman's lens, it's also different from like a men's point of view, to be really honest. And I totally can relate with what she's saying. Like, I wasn't, like, I still took photos with my classmates, but I wasn't really allowed to post photos with guys until I got much older. And I wasn't allowed to like properly communicate. But that's a whole other topic to talk about, because it definitely affects you in terms of like how you see friendships with men. But yeah, this is a real issue, because like even till today, if I'm hanging out with my guy friend, I still feel like I should go to a place where there are not many Indians, because otherwise if someone were to like see us, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, like I feel like I'm guilty for something that I'm not even doing. It's just a friend, you know. But I think that what she's saying is a strong point. I think what makes us not really Indian is that we soon become comfortable with the fact that we're just hanging out with like just one boy, or like if you're a boy, you just hang out with one Indian girl and it's all good and it's friendship, you know, and it's nothing more than that. Yeah. So it's interesting. And that's a whole other topic we can get into on another episode.
I mean, I think another thing we got to consider is, well, I feel like in India in general, because it's so heavily populated, everybody's literally on top of each other. So there really is no physical room just for privacy in general. And that plays a lot into the fact that everyone is so used to being so close to everyone that privacy or personal space is just so hard that they, in a way, are accustomed to seeing one another in a very, you know, my business is your business is my business, because my business is somehow going to elbow into your business type of way. And
so you,
I think, I feel like that's where it originates a lot for our, for
hold
like,
on. As for you're telling me that you're telling me it's that a, Indians a, are nosy because of the high population.
Okay, India as a country is not that much space for the population that it has, right? So if we have 100 people in a small room, now whenever you're, let's say you and I are in that room, we're having a conversation, and then there's another dude next to us. There's a good chance he's probably going to hear some of the things we say. There's no way I can have a conversation with you hoping that nobody around us hears anything, because like we're all, because of how cramped we are. And that kind of goes the same whenever someone else speaks to someone else. So regardless, there isn't really much you can do to ensure your privacy in such a small space. And I feel like, be given when you're growing up in such circumstances, you just kind of get used to the fact that everyone around you is so used to being able to hear your business and know what's going on, that it just somehow, that it just gets so ingrained in your culture.
I think that's it's a bit far-fetched, to be really honest, because like it's not just about like population space, it's not just population density that affects your psychology of like an entire culture. Then again, we are talking about something that is a big stereotype, so I get where you're coming from when you say that this could probably stem from like the psychological effect that this culture could stem from quite a number of different factors. But I think it just has more to do with how we're not acquainted enough with the other race. Like some, our parents grew up in like what, if they went to like a co-ed school, as what they would call it in India, then it's like it's a big thing. But if but normally girls would go to like an all-girls school, boys would go to an all-boys school, and then it's, and then they meet each other and they don't know how to communicate. So that culture has continued up to the point where as immigrant kids, we are not exactly allowed to talk to a boy of the opposite gender, or a girl, or a boy or a girl, or someone of the opposite gender without thinking twice about like looking like, you know, you're not trying to hit on them or not like trying to stir things up. Yeah. So I think that is the major part of this entire conversation, which honestly, it's a whole other episode that we can do proper research on. Okay. Next one. Moving on to the next comment.
Our next comment is at @amiba96. I think for me, the time when I questioned people, when I had people question my Indianness, was by Indians themselves. This is more religious related. I'm a Hindu. I am from a Hindu family, but I'm not religious. My family never pressured me into religious festivities or activities growing up. I think that helped shape my own opinions and thoughts without letting religion have an influence. However, because I'm not religious, oftentimes other Hindus would often make me feel bad about that, saying I'm not a true Indian, which makes no sense considering India is not limited to Hinduism. I don't know anything about all these festivities. I am westernized. The list goes on. For me, the way I approached it was simple. I don't talk to or associate with those people anymore. I don't have the time to convince people on whether or not I am really Indian or Hindu. Everyone grew up differently and has a different relationship with their culture and background. That doesn't make them any less or more of anything.
Interesting. Yeah.
I feel like that deserves a snap.
Yeah, exactly. I think when it, there is also a huge aspect of like culture versus religion, right? Where it's it's Indian culture. Like we all have shared experiences. A lot of us actually do, that makes us have our own like unique culture. But it seems like culture seems to overlap between different religion as well. So that's why everyone, we're known as Desis. You know, there's not one particular experience that relates to like just a particular religion. A lot of the stereotypes that we have of Indians, it's pretty much across the board. I don't think it limits to just like one particular religion. And yeah, if you're not religious enough, I can see why she might think that she's not really Indian. But I love how she is at equilibrium with herself, where she's like fuck all of y'all. I'm like, like, I know who I am. I am Indian enough and I'm good. And I think that's the energy we're trying to give out to all the people listening. Like, you're good. Like, you don't have to feel like you're less than or more than. Which is exactly how I think I'm at that stage right now. I did have my issues with it, but I feel like I'm good now. Yeah. What about you?
Can I just, I want to point out something very gaping at me. So I feel like a lot of people just do not know. There are non-Indian Hindus out there. Like, there are people in Africa who are Hindus. There are a lot of white people who are Hindus too. We just call them Hare Krishnas, but there are a lot of white people who do Hinduism as well. Or, you know, one, or, you know, yoga instructors. But that's beside the point.
Yeah.
I mean, recently I even befriended this one girl who is a Pakistani Hindu, which I know some people find that very hard to believe. Yeah, there are Pakistani Hindus. How'd I meet her?
You want to tell people how'd you meet her? Okay, never mind. I mean, like, every single girl's name you bring up, I kind of want to know how you meet her. Like, you're that interesting guy. But yeah, we'll talk about that another time. But yeah, talk about her.
Why do you want to know every girl I meet, though? Okay.
There's something comedy attached to it. That's all I'm saying. There's some comedy attached to how I meet
girls. That being said, being Hindu or being a good Hindu and being Indian, they're very, very two different ideals. Now, yeah. I mean, Hinduism very much is tied to India's history and India's roots.
Of course.
But being a good Hindu does not make you any more or less Indian by any standard, real, if you really think about it.
Yes.
And then exactly. At the same time, being Indian does not really make you more Hindu as much. I mean, it's like being Christian in America or not being Christian in America. Like, just because you're Christian doesn't necessarily mean you're an American. Because, you know, both India and America are secular countries. And then there are very much people who are of the majority religion who really like to believe that the country they reside in is built on their religion, which is kind of a bit radicalistic per se. Oh, I feel like I'm gonna have some some specific audience members or specific people who watch this come after me, but it's whatever. Yeah. After what they did to my boy Hasan Minhaj. Oof.
Did you just say Hasan Minhaj? I heard a Minhaj. It's Minhaj.
Minhaj, yeah, that's what I just said. Hasan Minhaj.
I thought I heard a Minhaj, but yes, okay. But I think maybe let's talk about something that's a bit more current. Did you actually celebrate Diwali or Deepavali?
No, I did not.
Are you really Indian if you celebrate Deepavali? You know, because to be really honest, I didn't. I mean, there was like a small like puja with family and like you just pray, but I didn't get the chance to celebrate it. I just light up a couple of Deepalu in my house and that was it. Yeah.
What we normally do is we actually get sweets for all our non-Hindu friends or non-Indian friends. And we go around and we just distribute them.
Okay.
Growing up, so like my mom, one thing that my parents really liked was around Christmas time, all their neighbors and stuff would give them Christmas cards or like little goodie bags and things. And they kind of wanted to do the same thing, but for Diwali, in that we give them sweets or we give them sweets that, you know, are some of our sweets for Diwali. Cause that's like our, that's a Hindu Christmas in a way for.
That's a Hindu Christmas. Oh my God.
Well, yeah. They're both have a thing with lights. Both have a thing with lights. Both have something to do with God being born, like, you know, yeah, like religious mythology, like a real, they have like a specific religious story attached to it. I mean, in Hinduism, there's either the Krishna and Narakasura story or the Rama killing Ravana story, whichever one, you know, suits you, I guess. Either way, it's more so about good.
Can you say that again? Evil. Say that again with an Indian accent.
Oh my God. This is speech therapy all over again. God damn it.
Again, it's okay.
Okay, the Krishna and Narakasura story and the Rama and Ravana story.
Okay. Yeah. But that being said, I got to go have my lunch. My parents are going to call me for Papu Korappi. So I got to go.
Oh, hi, Auntie. Did your mom hear me?
Yeah. No, I'm on earphones. But yeah,
all right.
I'll see you next time.
All right. I'll see you next time.